We will now convene the August 16, 2011 City of Daytona Beach Special Magistrate Proceedings. We will call the meeting to order. All those representatives for the City of Daytona Beach will be testifying this morning's proceedings. Please step forward and be sworn.
You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony about to provide that you hold truth and nothing but the truth?
I do.
All right, I have reviewed the minutes of July 12, 2011. Everything appears to be in order, so with that, I'm going to go ahead and approve and sign them. I guess you'd rather I sign the ones that I didn't highlight. All right, the first order of business today is going to be an appeal of denial by Biketober Fest Development Committee and City Commission for participation in master plan outside activities for Biketober Fest 2011, specifically Captain's Tavern, 115 Main Street. So, is there anyone here on behalf of the respondent?
Yes.
Let y'all come forward. I'd like to state your names and be sworn, if you will.
Nick Pagrone.
Sharon Cosley.
K-O-S-L-E-Y.
Raise your hand, please. Do you solemnly swear or affirm the testimony about to provide that you're going to hold truth and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Who's going to speak to this on behalf of the city?
I am, sir. Colleen Lyle, zoning officer.
Because I don't quite understand what the nature of the incompleteness about the application is, so somebody can explain that to me.
In the master plan guidelines, there's a specific deadline for submitting all applications. That deadline was not met, as they can explain the transfer of ownership of the business, and there's a provision in the guidelines for appeals that it should there be something non-compliant within the application or the submittal deadline, the magistrate has the ability to hear the request for appeal.
Okay, so when was the deadline for submitting applications?
It was
May 1st?
May 11th.
May 11th. And when was this application submitted?
The date of the meeting was on June 1st. Biketober Fest Committee meeting.
Okay. So the application submitted at the Biketober Fest?
Correct.
All right. And you mentioned a change in ownership. When did that occur?
June 1st was when I got involved with the Captain's Tavern, putting that purchase together. So it was the day that we were told of the meeting, the same day I was doing that. I was in City Hall and paying the water bill.
All right. Which one is Captain's Tavern? Captain's Tavern.
The old wreck. Up 44. 115.
So the one right at the foot of the Main Street Bridge.
Yes.
The contiguous piece of property is actually on the other side of the street, which is 70 feet wide as opposed to 50 feet wide.
However, they're not requesting to do that this year.
Okay, so when did you acquire ownership or obtain control?
June 1st.
June 1st. Did Captain's Tavern exist before?
Yes, on the Captain's Tavern Riverfront Grill, and I took over and used the name Captain's Tavern.
So you kept the name, but you bought the business?
Didn't buy the business.
Like
the business was
property?
Closed down. We opened the business under a new corporation.
Yeah, who owns the property?
Del Percio, and I think it's RLM is the name of the corporation. We're under contract to purchase it.
Okay. Well, what's the change that occurred here?
That was closed.
Mr. Ferns, the previous owner of Captain's Tavern, who came before you for the last event, walked away. There was an article in the paper about it and everything. He walked away right before submittal deadline. Therefore, he did not submit for the master plan. When the new operators came in to turn on the water, it was after the submittal deadline that they wanted to attempt to participate. Went before the Biketober Fest committee, and the committee said they wanted to understand the reasoning, but they didn't have the ability to extend the deadline. Only you have the ability to approve their participation.
Okay, well, I'm still not clear on what the change is that's occurred here. Did you buy the business?
No, sir. The business, as Colleen stated, the former owners walked away. I was approached by the owners of the property to take, you know, take and open up the, reopen the business because they had, you know.
Okay, well, let me stop and back you up there. You say the former owners walked away, and then you were approached by the owners.
The owners of the real estate.
Who are the owners of the real estate?
RLM.
And they're a constant. They've had the property throughout.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So I take it somebody else owns the business that's being conducted there?
No, sir.
Okay, well, then what's your nexus with the ownership that allows you to conduct any business there?
I leased purchased the property to run the restaurant. Okay.
So you have a lease purchase agreement?
Yes.
With RLM Industries or whoever it is?
Yes.
By which you both lease the property and I guess have some sort of an option to buy somewhere
yes.
down the road.
Yes.
And you acquired that interest in the property on or about June 1st.
Right.
And then once you acquired that interest, then you immediately made your request.
I licensed the business, got a new, everything is all new licenses. I didn't transfer any licenses that the former owner had.
The former owner
would be the Ferns.
The operator of the business, sir.
I take it you're aware of the restrictions that we've required in the past as far as participation in Biketoberfest?
Yes, ma'am.
And you're agreeing to be bound by those as well?
Yes. Okay.
All right. Well, I can't really see where there's much fault on the part of the applicant creating the condition, that being the lateness of the filing, gravity of the violation. So did the late filing somehow impair or impede the city's ability to evaluate this application, or did they just not evaluate it?
We evaluated it after the deadline. All city staff that's required, including the Convention and Visitors Bureau.
Right. And does it pass muster?
Correct.
Okay. Any prior opportunity to remedy the situation? Well, I guess that's more the same. Okay. All right. Well, then it looks like you are a new business that came about after the deadline. Doesn't look as though you had any fault in creating the condition per se. It sounds as though the city's had an opportunity to review your application and is satisfied that it passes muster. You understand the restrictions that are already in place that are going to remain in place that you're going to abide by. And, okay, so with that, I'm going to go ahead and grant the appeal and allow you to. What exactly am I allowing? Do I need to word this anyone in particular?
Participation on the 2011 Biketoberfest Master Plan.
There you go. That's what I'm doing. Granting the appeal and granting them permission to participate in the 2011 Biketoberfest. Very good.
Thank you.
Okay, good luck to you.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, now we'll proceed with our regular agenda. Case number one, Jewel Lovett Testamentary Trust is in compliance. Case number two, Brunette and Jesse D. Fields. Is anyone here on behalf of the respondent? Let's say the city.
Good morning.
Good morning.
There's been no change on the property. No occupational license applied for or issued. So, and the parking violations are still present. So the city is asking for the one-time administrative fee of $250 plus $25 per day for the other violations.
Okay, is this a single-family duplex owner-occupied or a single-family slash duplex non-owner-occupied?
Non-owner-occupied.
Non-owner-occupied. Alright, not seeing a respondent based on our inspector's report, I find I'm going to go ahead and impose the one-time, $250 administrative fee for failure to obtain the rental license. And in addition to that, we'll fine the respondent a sum of $25 per day, commencing August 3, 2011, and continuing each day thereafter until the property is in compliance. When the amount of the fine has reached the sum of $15,000, whichever occurs first. Case number three, Ramon A. and Cassandra F. Culver.
Good
right, not seeing a respondent, what say the city?
This property is in non-compliance. It came to us originally as dilapidated fencing, broken windows, and exterior surfaces. Since then, there's been a structural fire on July 4th, and it has progressively gotten worse. It's still insecure. The only difference on the property is that the city cut the lot.
Is it the city what?
The city cut the lot because it was overgrown. Outside of that, no change, no contact. And the city will be asking to impose a $100 a day fine.
Owner-occupied, non-owner-occupied?
I would have to say owner-occupied because I don't know any different.
Based on our inspector's report, I'm finding the respondent sum of $100 per day commencing August 3, 2011 and continuing each day thereafter until the property is in compliance or the amount of the fine has reached the sum of $10,000, whichever occurs first. Case number 4, Redus Florida Commercial, LLC. All right, not seeing anyone here on behalf of the respondent, what say the city?
This case and the next two, I was called unexpectedly out of town, and I've had a schedule change for this week, so I've not done current inspections on these, so I don't want to impose a fine unjustly. So I'm all three of these I want to amend to the next cutoff to give me an opportunity to make those final inspections.
You're talking about Redus,
yes.
Krowski, and White?
Yes. That one I know they're working on, the case number 4. They are working on that one, and hopefully that one will be taken care of. And when we get to the other ones, I'll talk about those. But until I can do a current inspection, I don't want to impose a fine.
All right. Well, based on our inspector's report, or recommendation rather, I'll go ahead and amend our previous order of noncompliance to allow the respondent until September 7, 2011 to come into compliance or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. All right, case number 5, Denise M. Koprowski. Same circumstances?
Yes, sir.
And once again, you're looking for to extend the compliance date to the next cutoff?
Yes, sir.
All right. Based on our inspector's recommendation with regard to case number 5, Denise M. Koprowski, I am amending our previous order of noncompliance to allow the respondent until September 7, 2011 to come to compliance or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of the fine up to $1,000 per day thereafter. With regard to case number 6, Walter W. White III, Robert H. White, and Frederick C. White. Same circumstances?
Same circumstance. I do know on this one they were doing some work on it, so hopefully it will be in compliance next time, but I need to wait.
Based on our inspector's recommendation, I'm going to go ahead and amend our previous order of noncompliance to allow the respondent until September 7, 2011 to commit compliance or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. This is case 7, Mildred Fleer Incorporated.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. I'm Larry Stout, appearing on behalf of Mildred Fleer, Inc. And the only purpose for me being here this morning, and first of all, both of the Phillipses are here, is that I represent Mildred Fleer. Mildred Fleer has sold the entire parcel of property, two pieces that are contiguous there, to Vandal of Daytona, Inc. And so if I can, I'd like to give you copies of the deed. One is a recorded copy. The other one was just sent to the clerk recently, last Thursday. So if you would, the parties in interest here now are Vandal of Daytona, Inc. Mildred Fleer is a mortgagee. We're an interested party yet, but we probably should not be a party to the actual enforcement action, which these people are going to talk about today. If you'd like, I'd tender these deeds to you or to the clerk, and hopefully.
Sure.
Those are yours, yes, ma'am. And like I say, I can send you a copy of the recorded once the clerk brings it up on the website, but they're actual copies of the documents. If I may, I'd yield to the Phillipses to explain the substance of their case and where they are with the remedies.
Well, before I let you go here,
yes,
I think what you're telling me is it's been a transfer of ownership.
That's right.
The respondent we have listed here no longer has any interest in the property.
Well, we have an interest as a mortgagee only. Okay. And because of that, we're interested in what happens, of course, with the code violations on the property.
But we have a new owner, that being Vandal
of Daytona Inc.
Vandal of Daytona Inc. And I presume what you're suggesting is Vandal of Daytona Inc. should be substituted for Mildred Fleer Incorporated.
That's right.
As the respondent in this proceeding.
That's right.
Okay. Tony, is that okay with you?
Mildred Fleer is the owner of one of these.
Well, I can't tell you that for sure. It's been an ongoing process. The effective date of the first parcel that was transferred was the one on the west, the 612 East ISB. The effective date was January 1, and that's because they'd been in a long-term lease of all of this property prior to that time. It was a sequential thing where they bought the property on the west, and then more recently they purchased the property on the east. They're contiguous, the buildings are connected, et cetera. We've thought of it as one parcel. They've had an obligation to make sure that the code enforcement elements of the entire property were followed, and so that's the reason we'd like to bow out. We'd be interested, but we'd like to bow out and let them take over.
Okay. And I talked to someone. I talked to you, I remember.
It wasn't me, I don't think. Okay. Could have been Harry McConnell.
Well, I did talk with him. I talked with someone on the other side.
Tanner Andrews, that was my lawyer.
Who was that?
Tanner Andrews.
That's what it was, Tanner.
Okay.
All right. And they worked something out with half the property. But I guess, so it's an understanding between all the parties that Mildred Fleer is kind of not in this anymore and Vandalist ones.
Yes, that's true. That's true. Again, we're interested only from the standpoint we don't want code violations as a mortgagee, but they're handling the remedies and the remediation that's needed.
But your mortgage, and I'm not going to beat it up.
No, go ahead.
But your mortgagee, from the point that you're, you held the mortgage from the sale. I mean, where
yes. Yes, we acquired the mortgage at the time of the first sale. It's a purchase money first mortgage. And then when the second parcel was purchased, we expanded and added the second parcel to the lien of the mortgage.
Okay. Well.
And we've got terms in the mortgage that require them, of course, to comply with the code enforcement elements that are involved here.
That helps.
It does.
Yeah. I'm okay, Mr. Kelly, I know we've done it both ways. Typically, we would hang up to a prior owner in this situation, thinking on Mr. Stiles at this word, the language to the mortgage documents to aid to some elements of accountability. I don't have any problem with them.
Let's ask some questions before we let anyone go. Who wants to speak on behalf of Vandal Inc.? Come on up. If you would please state your name and be sworn.
Yes, sir. Randall Phillips. I do.
Vandal of Daytona Inc. is a Florida corporation?
Yes, sir.
Florida corporation in good standing?
Yes, sir.
You an officer of that corporation?
Yes.
What office do you hold?
I am the CEO, president.
CEO, president. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you have authority to speak on behalf of Vandal of Daytona Incorporated?
Yes, sir.
You have the authority to commit them if need be?
Yes.
Participating in this proceeding as a respondent?
Yes.
And you have the authority for the substitution of Vandal of Daytona Inc. for the previous owner, Mildred Fleer, Inc.?
Yes.
All right. And are you agreeing to substitute Vandal of Daytona Inc. as the new owner of the property for Mildred Fleer, Inc. as far as this proceeding is concerned?
Correct, sir. Yes.
Okay. Anything else you
need? No, I'm good.
Okay. All right. With that, I'm going to go ahead and dismiss Mildred Fleer, Inc. as a respondent in this action, in this proceeding, and substitute in lieu of Mildred Fleer, Inc., Vandal of Daytona, Inc. And I guess Mr. Phillips will be your contact person. All right. Mr. Phillips, do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes.
All right. And with that, I find the respondent to be in noncompliance. Madam Inspector, how long do you think it will take the property owner to come into compliance?
I think it probably could be done within 30 to 60 days max, but I don't know what their schedule is. I know they're working on the building next door, too.
Peeling paint, mold and mildew on exterior, damaged interior and exterior walls, broken paint, carpet, so you don't use trash debris. Okay, so I'm hearing a fuzzy 30 days there from the city. What do you say?
I think the painting and the most of the aesthetics that you see there, the parking lot's going to be the majority of my time right there. That's going to be an issue, repaving that or deciding what we're going to have to do.
What are you doing with the property?
For the time being, I'm just going to pretty much put it at
Take a picture right there? Go back and back up one picture.
Yes.
Well, that kind of...
The one in between the two.
That one? No, the one that showed...
One more back, the corner.
Far right.
Not that one.
Far right of the building.
There you go.
Right there.
That's it.
That used to be a Pure Oil gas station, and that was my father's trim shop right in there.
Yep. Well, pretty much we're going to plan on... Yep.
See, I work for Coble, so when you pass those little anecdotes, now with the age, I guess I do that.
At the time being, what I'm going to be doing is I have a neutral tan color. We're going to be repainting the whole front of the building. I've already got someone today pulling all the weeds. We're going to be planting the rest of... You can't see what we're doing, a flower bed on that side. The front of that car is hiding it. But we're just going to put flowers into the front. Just make it look good. Get the parking lot working. I don't see us in the year having any type of business or tenant in there. We'd have to go through the occupational permits and the correct process before I put anybody in there. But at this point, I'm hoping to possibly maybe... expand my business to there, or maybe rent it out to somebody else as a restaurant, but that's pretty far down the line.
Okay, well, as far as the violations that you're confronted with right now, how long is it going to take you to address those?
I think 60 days would be easy to get at least the building intact and looking real good. The parking lot, I'd have to contact a contractor and see how long.
Or like painting, trashing, or painting.
Yeah, the trash is pretty much all cleaned up from what you saw in the pictures there.
The exterior tape does the majority.
Yeah, as long as I can get that done. I can get that done probably in 30 days. But that parking lot, I probably need some sort of extension on.
All right. I assume all these violations are predicated on the building not being utilized for the near future and secure to city standards, or in the city satisfied that it's secure.
It can be secure.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Okay, then I'm going to go ahead and order the respondent to come to compliance with regard to these items by October 5, 2011, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Your estimate of time sounded every bit as fuzzy as hers did, so my point is, if you start running short or problems arise, be sure to keep her posted as to what's going on. She'll be your best friend if you need additional time.
Okay.
All right, with that, good luck to you.
Thank you very much.
Good to see you. Back. Case number 8, Kenneth M. and Margaret B. Paz. I'm sorry, that case is in compliance. Case number 9, Gilram Han and Albert Musada. Anyone here for the respondents? Okay, if not, what's it say?
It's in non-compliance. We're looking for next cutoff.
Based on our inspector's report, I find the respondents to be non-compliance. Order the respondents to come into compliance by September 7, 2011, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of the fine of $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 10 is in compliance. Case number 11, Osip Madeja. Is anyone here for the respondent? Not seeing anyone for the respondent. What say the city?
As of this morning's property is still in non-compliance.
All right. Based on our inspector's report, I find the respondent to be in non-compliance. Order the respondent to commit compliance by September 7, 2011, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 12, Aaron Mitchell. If you would please state your name and be sworn.
Florence Bergeron.
Raise your right hand, please. You solemnly swear or affirm the testimony you're about to provide, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
I do.
And your affiliation with Aaron Mitchell?
He is a friend, a real good friend of mine.
And you have
I am
authority to speak on his behalf?
He is out of town, and he wanted to see if he could reschedule. He is on a business trip and trying to make it, but he was unable to. If you can reschedule,
looks like. We can reschedule. Why don't we just go get a rental license? Seems like that'd be easy. Okay. All right, well, let's hear from the city.
This is one of many of Mr. Mitchell's properties without an occupational license. That's what he cited for it, just having an occupational license. And he should have all of these things fixed before he gets issued one.
Okay.
Part of the building department.
All right. Well, I assume the absence of an occupational license is a matter of record for which I do not necessarily need a respondent here to testify one way or the other. Correct?
I would agree, Your Honor.
Okay.
Well,
all right. So I'm going to go ahead and find, based on our inspector's report, I'm going to go ahead and find Mr. Mitchell in noncompliance. Typically, we give him to the next cutoff to come into compliance. All right, which would be September 7th. And for the benefit of Ms. Is it Brochure?
Bergeron.
Bergeron?
Yes, sir.
Okay. For the benefit of Ms. Bergeron, could you explain to her what's going to be involved as far as Mr. Mitchell getting a rental license, or are you going to tell me he pretty much knows already because he's done this before?
Honestly, he should know. He has quite a few properties. Unfortunately, from the condition of the properties, maybe he doesn't know, so I will give you after the hearing.
All right, well, if you're adamant that Mr. Mitchell wants to be heard on this, then I'll move it to the next month, and he can come down here. But quite frankly, this is such a petty little bit of business, it's kind of a waste of time for everybody to come down here and do it. And I think Mr. Mitchell would probably be more inclined to just get the license than even if he was going to make a trip down here. I think he'd rather just get the license.
So basically, that's all I need, is just the license.
Yes.
Okay.
All right, so I'm going to go ahead. So with that, but if, again, you want to preserve his constitutional right to be heard,
yeah,
I'll continue it so he can be heard.
Please, because
he better be here.
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll tell you what. We found him in noncompliance. Hang on a second. This is just too silly. This is too silly.
No. That's good. I thought it was Ms. McKelvey. She's not expressed our knowledge of Mr. Mitchell and presumably has knowledge of whether he's in compliance or not, and as a witness, if she wants to provide some testimony that gives you a little more comfort, we could do that.
You know, again, if we were talking anyway. Never mind. I'm doing an about face here. I guess this is flip flop. All right, I'm going to order the respondent to come into compliance by September 7, 2011, or be returned to the special magistrate for the imposition of the one-time $250 fee for failure to obtain a rental license. Okay. So there. He just needs to go get his rental license.
Yes, sir.
And take less time to do that than it would come back here for another hearing.
Yes, sir.
All right. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Case number 13, Sophia Gregory.
Okay.
Is there anyone here for the respondent? Not seeing a respondent, we'll say the city.
One and the same. That honestly, he has 8 properties. They're all in the same condition.
Okay.
No problem. December 13th, Sophia Gregory.
This is an abandoned property.
Oh, and they have another case. That's what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Oh, you skipped you with that one.
No. Sophia Gregory.
No, she's a tenant at the Pierce location.
Sophia Gregory.
Sorry.
Sorry.
Sophia Gregory, 501 Pine Street, no contact. The property is progressively getting worse right now. That's what it looks like right now, with a very large tree laying on it. It's dilapidated in every sense of the word, with no contact with the property owner. So, that being said, non-compliance, next cutoff.
Based on our inspector's report, I find the respondent to be non-compliance and order the respondent to commit compliance by September 7, 2011, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 14, Aaron Mitchell. Not seeing respondent, what say the city?
Non-compliance, next cutoff.
Based on our inspector's report, I find the respondent to be non-compliance and order the respondent to commit compliance by September 7, 2011, or be returned to the special magistrate for imposition of the $250 administrative fee for failure to obtain rental license. Number 15, Melissa Beth Turkish.
I brought pictures of the work we've done.
All right.
To see them?
Sure.
Yeah, I just need to state your name.
Okay. My name is Melissa Turkish.
Do you solemnly swear from the testimony you have provided that you're telling the truth and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
There has been quite a bit of progress made on this property since the case started.
The main thing I need more time on is the roof on the back cabana. It's over a jacuzzi. And if you see the last picture, is the front of the cabana. I didn't realize the back of it was so torn up and dilapidated because it wasn't shingled. But I've done quite a bit of work on the fence. Thank you for saying that. Because I have tried to contact Mike Fitzgerald and John Stenson. Are you Mr. Stenson?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. And I spoke to both of them at one point. I know I had the month till June 1st, and I couldn't get it all finished. Got most of it done, and as you can see, there's more being done. So.
Okay. All right. First off, I assume the work is not done yet. So that having been said, I find the respondent in non-compliance. And as far as the city's concerned, how long should it take to commit compliance given the current state of the respondent's efforts?
Well, I'd be willing to give this 60 days.
60 days.
Yeah, right. Because that's an old picture there of my front door. You can see it took off that whole gate. Place. Did the...
We did the boards.
Yeah, thank you.
We did all the lattice.
Does the lattice work all have to be white? Because I have a wood color still on that front one.
Yes.
Okay.
Operational.
All right, just making sure. Mm-hmm. But the roof is the main thing I needed more time on.
That's more
oh, yeah. Okay. And so, just so you know, some of the pictures on that site were of my next-door neighbor.
I saw that.
And my other main question why I wanted to get a hold of you was when I finally got to the site just recently, I didn't realize how to get to the site, and then I found it in my paperwork. The picture on that side of the bougainvillea where it was circled, where the electric company and the water company have to go, I didn't know why. I mean, it's all been trimmed. I didn't know if it was just too tall or...
On the north side of the building.
That's the
right,
roof.
Right.
Yeah, see, that's the back of that building. Right. I didn't realize it was in such disrepair.
The reason why that roof is getting beat up like that is all the old roof. It's just...
Right. I know that. But the side yard of the bougainvillea, there was a big circle...
Some bushes also.
Just that's all.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rear fence is all... still, you know, sound. Is that fine still, the backyard fence? I wasn't
right.
sure.
Right. I mean, as long as the material sounds.
Okay. Yeah, because this is off. The front of that cabana, just so you know. That's why I didn't realize, because I don't go on those other people's property.
Right.
So just so you knew with it. And also, I just want you to know, because you did take a picture of this one, and I did not realize, like I said, until a couple days ago I went on this, about that side fence,
mm-hmm.
when you seen I hadn't painted it, I didn't realize you had that in the pictures, because that had been like that for 10 years, where they'd been only painted part way.
Right.
So I just painted it the rest of the way. So
good.
Thank you for your, you know, showing that we did something.
All right. City says it should take you about 60 days to get things done. That would take you up to October 5, 2011. What do you say?
Thank you very much.
So
I think I can do that by then.
Enough time?
Yes, because I talked to a roofer already, and trying to get quotes, and he's going to requote me on that, because I only have to do the back half of that roof.
Great.
I think I can do that.
All right, then I'm going to go ahead and order the respondent. Please bear with me in my harsh wording for a moment here. Order the respondent come into compliance by October 5, 2011, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Okay, if you run into any dilemmas along the way, keep your inspector posted.
All right.
Be your best friend if you need additional time.
Okay, thank you.
All right, good luck to you.
Thank you very much.
All right, do we have any miscellaneous business to be brought before his special magistrateness? Nope. All right. Adjourned.